Hey Nomads, welcome to Digital Nomad Stories, the podcast. My name is Anne Klaassen, and together with my co-host Kendra Hasse, we interview digital nomads. Why? Because we want to share stories of how they did it. We talk about remote work, online business, location independency, freelancing, travel, and of course, the digital nomad lifestyle. Do you want to know more about us and access all previous episodes? Visit digitalnomadstories.co. All right, let's go into today's episode. Hey, nomads. Welcome to a new episode of Digital Nomad Stories. Today, I'm here with Shayna Shiorsky, and she is the co-founder of Legends, a brand new app for travelers, explorers, digital nomads as well, I think. I'm just going to let Shayna tell you what it is exactly, because I've been playing around with the app and it's awesome, but it has so many features, so many things that you can do with it. If you are someone who likes to explore the world and is also a fan of community, which I think is everyone here listening to this episode, then you definitely want to keep listening. And we'll also hear about Shayna's story, how she started traveling, what her travel style is, and more about her work, travel, life balance. I'm really excited for this interview. Shayna, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here and share a little bit about my story as, you know, a digital nomad before, you know, building Legends, and also a little bit more about how we're helping solve the problem that we all live very closely, which is, you know, really creating a way to find people while you're moving around the world, share, you know, helpful information easily, and connect with the communities that are aligned to, you know, what you need and what you can offer. So looking forward to chatting.
Let's dive into the app right away, because like you said, it really solves a problem that I think a lot of digital nomads have. At least I experienced this, that it is difficult to find a new community every time you move, and especially when you move around a lot. Sometimes can be lonely, you know, it can be difficult to keep in touch with people, know where everyone is, find new friends who are also like-minded people, very, very important. So you mentioned that is a problem that Legends solves. Can you share more about how you do that with the app?
Yeah. So, you know, just a little bit about the journey, which I think helps give way to why we're solving it, how we're solving it. Where in 2019, I lived in New York and decided to pack all of my stuff up in a storage unit and said, you know, I'm going to work and live remotely around the world. Starting in Europe and then, you know, South America and Australia and New Zealand. And as I was moving around the world, you know, and working constantly, I was getting asked for, you know, recommendations or things that I did or where I stayed or where was the best co-working or places with Wi-Fi in different places that my friends were visiting after I was there. And what we found is, you know, a few things. One, you know, the way that we share travel information is still really antiquated in the sense that we're still, you know, writing an email and finding the website and linking it and giving a description and then only really sharing the top five things because maybe you only can remember those things or it just takes too much time to pull all the details in. You know, we said first and foremost, like, is there an easier way to share what we're doing with our community and our friends and the people that we want to kind of follow our travels? And the second thing we found is that as we were also moving around the world, every city we might have, you know, wanted to find a different community. So, for example, when I moved, you know, when I went to Malta, I might have wanted to lean more into wellness and find, you know, the wellness community and more of the spirituality or the diving community there. And when I was in London, I wanted to integrate more with, you know, people who I could network with from a working point of view. And so this idea that each of us in a community, we have typically something that we can offer and something that we're looking for. And how do we make it really easy to say, hey, I just landed in London. I'm looking for, you know, networking related to tech and I can offer support and go to market, right? And how do we connect people who feel like they have value on each side to create deeper, you know, support and momentum? Because ultimately, you know, as we're becoming more global citizens and we're moving into places where we might not have grown up our whole life or have a network, like it's very important for us to find the people who can support us in a way that makes sense. And so with our beta that we launched at the end of August, what we created is a really easy way to not only share, but also capture what we call as your travel DNA. And so instantly, we're able to scan thousands of photos, you know, the photos that you've taken all over the world, and translate that into a starting point of what you've done, what you've been exposed to, and who you are as an explorer. So think of it instantly giving you the number of cities, countries, languages, climates, cuisines that you've been exposed to. And that serves as a starting point of, you know, where you've gone, but also where you haven't gone. And so with that process, we also make it really easy to share recommendations. Imagine, you know, traveling and exploring somewhere like Croatia and taking a photo of a coffee shop and a museum and a hotel, and those photos translate instantly into the website of the place, the phone number, et cetera, for your friends. And all you really have to do is take a photo. We've used technology to really streamline that process and make it easy for everyone to kind of share and curate their lists of their favorite places that they've been exposed to.
Love it. Yes. I mean, literally just before this interview, I was on WhatsApp with one of my best friends, and she's flying to Indonesia next week. And she literally asked me, okay, so where did you go? What did you do? How did you get there? Tips, tricks, like share everything. And I was like, oh my God, okay, now I need to, first of all, remember what I did and then type that out or create a voice message. And then every time someone asks me this, I do that again, which doesn't make sense necessarily, because you have to curate this whole list over and over again, or you have a blog, but like, I mean, I don't. So I think this makes so much sense. If I could just, like you said, send a photo, like, here is, like, in legends what I can tell you about this place, and this is the photo with all the information, I think that would be awesome. And the second thing that I also think is very interesting, what you said, is also business and networking opportunities. I started my business while being remotely and nomadic also. So I sometimes felt like people who were in one place building a business, they had their local communities, and they had, I mean, a lot of networking events are local, or a lot of accelerators, grants, you know, like programs for new entrepreneurs, a lot is local. And I sometimes felt like, okay, I'm kind of behind because of just being nomadic, right? Because just the way I structure my lifestyle. So I think if you can tap into communities and other people's networks through an app, I think that would be really interesting. I'm just like imagining how that would be, and at the start of my entrepreneurial journey, I think it would have looked very different in a good way. So I think that's really exciting for people who are starting businesses now. So Shayna, I also want to learn more about your journey, as in like quite literally the journey that you went on when you packed up all your things in 2019 and left New York to travel. How was that for you? Did you quit your job and started something new, or could you take your job on the road with you, or can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I've always been very connected to exploring and traveling the world. And so I would find myself in New York, you know, once I got back from a trip, planning my next trip, and using kind of my work to plan extended vacations on the back end or front end of work trips. And I had been working for a startup for 2 years at that point, and I was a top performer. And, you know, I had this thought that I said, you know, if the company really values me, then they'll value what's important to me. And this was before kind of remote work was really, really, you know, accepted. You know, it was before COVID, and my whole office, you know, it was an early stage, like small company. And so everyone went into the office in New York, and as a scrappy startup, you're working together. But I knew that I did my best work while I was happy personally. And while that meant, you know, me traveling and working, being able to work remotely. And I was traveling quite a bit anyway for the company. And so I had proven that, you know, I didn't need to be in the office every single day to be productive. But I think thinking about like my value and being okay to lose my job if they didn't respect my value was some point that I got to. And so I went to them and I I didn't really ask. I basically said, you know, hey, I'm, you know, going to be spending the summer in Europe. I started with that. You know, I wasn't like going to be a nomad for 2 years, but I said, listen, this is something that's important to me. I want to travel. I want to be able to work. Like, I have showed consistency, performance, delivery of, you know, my goals and, you know, even over exceeding my goals. And something that's important to me is to be able to live my life how I want to. And they said, you know, okay, but, you know, transparent and open communication, et cetera. So I took that on, you know, knowing that it would probably be difficult for me moving around the world. My company was still based in New York. I had to work New York hours, right, and be available on those hours. And, you know, I had clients all over the world as well. But that meant sometimes in New Zealand, I remember I was taking calls in like the bathroom of the hotel we were staying in at 3 a.m. to like not wake up my partner. But it all was worth it to me because I could enjoy the places I was in and live life how I wanted to. And it motivated me even more. And so I did that with them for 2.5 years while I was also building Legends on the side with my co-founder. Yeah, it's, you know, I would say it's definitely, there are definitely ups and downs, which I'm sure most nomads can relate to, and a lot of highs and lows. But I think the growth that you can get from moving around and putting yourself in different cultures and places and really having to find, you know, new communities and places where you feel not fully connected, or really create a discipline for yourself of a routine that helps motivate you when things are constantly changing, I think is a life skill that is really beneficial to us as humans.
Absolutely. And I think it's also really important, thank you for sharing, that you also had to make some sacrifices, because it's so easy to think, okay, well, cool. She just asked the company, hey, can I work remotely? They said yes. And then took off and, you know, like happily ever after, traveled the world while working remotely. but there are also sacrifices to make. And I'm also experiencing this now, where also sometimes I have late calls. I mean, for me, late calls are not at 3 a.m. Even 9:30 p.m. is already a late call for me. Which is not necessarily when I do my best work. But I also had to tell myself, okay, well, that is just what I have to do right now to be here in Portugal while working for U.S. companies. That's just how it is, right? Is it worth it then? I mean, could be yes, could be no. It's probably good to ask yourself that every now and then. But for me, that's worth it. That makes sense at this point to do that. And you mentioned that you also had that in New Zealand, where you were like, you know what, this is just how it is. And that also means that I can be here in New Zealand, which is also very valuable. So I think it's also really good to share the not so Instagrammable moments of taking calls in the bathroom at 3 a.m.
Yeah, exactly.
How was it then to be the first one in the company to be remote while everyone was in the office? You were working remotely. What kind of changes did you have to make, or not necessarily you, but what kind of changes did the company have to make to facilitate that? Because I think that could also be something that we can learn from, if maybe someone is in a similar position that they want to go remotely, but their company, I mean, it's not possible yet.
Yeah. I think it comes down to anything is really possible if you're adding value. And I think we companies, and this may be a unpopular belief, but I believe that, you know, companies want the control, or traditionally they have want to control you as employees in terms of what you should be doing, the hours you should be working, how you contribute, et cetera. And the reality is, like, we as employees have just as much control, but no one really tells us how to optimize that or how to ask in a way that is, you know, professional or politically correct or whatever you want to classify it as. And I think, you know, when you find yourself in a company that you feel passionate about or you feel connected with, and you then in turn end up, you know, performing well, you can ask for things that make you a more productive employee, right? At the end of the day, companies want to get the most out of you, right? They want you to be productive, efficient, and whatever they're paying you, they want, you know, 10x the return. And so for me, like, it was all about revenue. And so the more deals I was bringing in, like the less they cared about what I was doing in my personal life. And they couldn't argue with that. And so I found, you know, I enjoy roles where there's very specific goals that you can perform. And I think as a nomad, I do think it's important to be in roles that are measurable so that someone doesn't come back and say, oh, well, you didn't give us as many hours, right? Or you didn't show up in this way. And the reality is, like, how do you create goals that you can exceed? And as long as you keep doing that, a company who values revenues and moving momentum is going to be more flexible to the lifestyle that you want to live.
And how do you open that conversation? Like, you mentioned that you went to them and said, okay, listen, I know this is important to you, but then like this traveling thing that is important to me and I need this, like I need to do this. Do you want to support me or not? But you also mentioned that it was about the summer in Europe. Do you think that's a crucial thing to do to just make it, like take it step by step and not ask like, hey, can I please go remotely forever in whatever time zone I want? But instead, like taking it step by step and asking for really specific things.
So the first question around kind of how do you approach the conversation? I think it's really important to approach the conversation with facts and data, right? Like, this is what I've done. This is what has happened, et cetera, right? Like, this is where I want to go. Like, this is my plan. This is how I'm going to communicate. Like, this is the calls we're going to have to check in. Like, I think it's really important to have facts that are kind of indisputable that validate your case before you approach the conversation. And so I would approach it that way, where I would, you know, almost do a summary of like, here's the value that I perceive I've been adding to the company. And then say, you know, I want to share like something that's important to me. I think as a nomad, you don't know what you're going to do for a year. And so a lot of times, or maybe you do know you're going to stay in one place, but I think it's not misleading to say, I want to go to Portugal for a month and live there as a digital nomad and take that as a first step. And once you get the company comfortable with you out of the office and remote and you performing, it becomes easier as a conversation. So I do think that's a good way to approach it. It just depends on your situation and what you're trying to commit to. And I think definitely being honest is extremely important. But I think honesty is you know you have a place for 1 month that you're going to spend. Ultimately, you probably want to do it continuously, but really take it step by step. Because what you might find in Portugal is that you actually want to quit the company and do something different and you found a different job, which is also fine. We really don't know what's going to happen week to week, right? We're living, you know, a company might lay you off in 2 weeks. Like, there's so much uncertainty. So for us to know exactly what's going to happen in a year, like, we don't really know. And so I think saying this is my intention for the next, I would take it as a quarter, like 3 months or whatever it is, right? So a company can really get a sense for, like, you can integrate into the experience as a nomad, right? But they can get a sense for, okay, they did this over the quarter and this is how they performed.
Yeah, I think great tips. Absolutely. This makes a lot of sense. I think everyone can definitely use this, like go to your company with specific ask, but also have data ready to say, look, this is what I do. This is what I can keep doing for you or even do more of this. Like, and also this is my ask. After you've done that, you can say, hey, look, it went really well. Can I do this again? Or can I do something different? I think that makes a lot of sense.
I would just say also, you know, one thing that came to mind too, which I think is really, I did a lot in the early days, is I started actually building our European presence by being in Europe. I started actually getting clients in London and different places. And so rather than thinking about it as like you're going away from the company, like how can you actually integrate the markets you're going into in a really positive way to the company? And I think there's so much upside there from a exposure perspective, but also from, you know, a research perspective on does this resonate, does it not? And like thinking about yourself as almost an expansion opportunity for the business in a different market is another way to position it. Like for us, we were, you know, Europe was a secondary market to us. We didn't have an office. I was doing some business there and I would fly to London every once in a while. And so for me, part of the conversation was too, like, I'm going to lean more into, you know, our clients in Europe and have a bit more of a presence there. And so I think that's a way also to align to it.
Yeah, you almost make it, I mean, not almost, but you make it a win-win. How can they say no to that?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And how was it for you to go from an office culture to then the digital nomad lifestyle? I hear so many people who find it really difficult to strike a good balance between work and travel or work and more like lifestyle. How was that for you? Did you work way too much or way too little? Or like, did you find that balance quickly?
You know, ironically, I find myself more motivated on the road than I do like at my house now, because you want to do certain things. And so you're like more efficient. And what I found with myself is like, in Europe, I would, you know, spend, you know, the first, I would break the hours of how I wanted to work out, right? And I think we're all so used to like 8 hours straight is like what you need to work, and you can't do anything else in that time period. And that's actually, one, not great for your brain, like mentally. It's not great for creativity and focus, and it's constantly draining, but it's also not great for, you know, your personal mental health. And so I would do 3 hours in the morning in Europe. I would go to like a cafe or, you know, a hotel, a beautiful hotel, somewhere I felt inspired. And I would use tools as well, which I think is really important. Like, I would use certain like pre-scheduling tools that like I could write emails. So if I knew emails needed to get sent in, you know, the North American time zones, I would actually spend the morning replying to or sending, you know, a bunch of follow-up emails or whatever I needed to do that would get sent when everyone was waking up in the U.S., and then I would do some strategy stuff, right, where I had no calls and I was able to actually get through things because no one was bothering me throughout the day, or I wasn't getting slacked or all these other, you know, distractions. Then I would go enjoy my afternoon in the city that I was in. And then I'd, you know, come back for lunch. I'd take like a meeting during lunch and then I'd enjoy the rest of the afternoon. And before then I'd have like 3 hours before dinner. And I'd take calls, right? When that's when I'd schedule calls with, you know, the business. And that's when everyone on my time zone was waking up. And then after dinner, I'd take a few more calls. And I guess the point is I chucked it into 3 or 4 periods throughout the day that were my work moments. And it made me feel like I was not only being able to enjoy the city and places that I was in and the times that I wanted to, but also it felt much more manageable. And as I moved around the world, like, you know, some time zones were more difficult than others. And that's why I think it's important to think about, you know, visiting places that make it easy for you to do the work that you're doing, and thinking about the time zones and who you're being able to, you know, communicate with. But the biggest struggle is the self-discipline. You as an individual need to have your own boundaries and self-discipline, or it becomes really difficult. But also, like, one of the reasons why you're living this life is, you know, you could take a full day and go, you know, explore the beach or go surfing and then work 10 hours each other day, right? Like, I think it's the freedom that you get with being a nomad is, like, you're taking on the responsibility that no one is managing you, no one is controlling you, no one is telling you how many hours, but you have to get the work done. And it's really up to you how you get that work done in that week. And that could be your work. You could get it done in 3 days because you're working all day and then you take 2 days off and you don't do anything. And like, who's to say that's wrong?
Yeah, exactly. What I'm hearing you say is actually throughout this whole interview is just taking advantage of the situation that you created. Like, for time zones, you can really take advantage of these time zones so that you can do, like you said, you can work without any interruptions because all your clients or the rest of your team, they're all asleep. It's in the middle of the night. And then in the evening, you have meetings. So then during the day, you can explore. So, you know, like, taking advantage of that, but also locations, feeling inspired by working at cafes or hotel lobbies or somewhere that makes you feel creative. And also for the company, just like referring back to what you said before, it can also be a huge advantage for the company if you are in a specific location, specific cultures, specific market. So I think that's really awesome to see it that way. I think it can be such a mindset shift for some people. Like, it's not necessarily more difficult. It's just maybe different. You can make it as difficult as you want to make it, but you can also make it easy on yourself. Which brings me to the time zone thing you said. Are there certain time zones that you just wouldn't really go back to because it's just too difficult to manage work in those time zones?
I mean, I think it just depends on your team. Like right now at Legends, we have a global team. We have developers in India. We have, you know, my co-founders in New York. We have, you know, people in California. And so we're really every single time zone. And so I actually find it easier when, you know, when we're doing a lot of development work. I was in Greece all summer and it was extremely easy. Actually, it was better for me to be on that time zone because I could attend all of their, you know, daily calls and stuff. Whereas in the US, like, it doesn't make sense. It's like 3 a.m. when they have their daily call. And then I get them at the end of the day, which is fine. So I think it depends on who you're engaging with and what your goals are. And that might be changing, you know, quarterly or yearly. I sound probably, yeah, Australia, New Zealand to be the most difficult just because you're like days ahead, you know, and it's tough to engage with like the rest of the world, including like Europe and different places. It's just a quite difficult time zone. But I think there's been positives to all of it. Like I said, I mean, in Australia and New Zealand, like my full days were exploring. And then like, how amazing is it to explore during the day and then work at night? And knowing that that's temporary is also nice, right? Like I wouldn't want to do that for, you know, 2 years, but for a month is enjoyable and you get to see the place more and, you know, engage in the way that you want to. I think they all have benefits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that definitely makes sense. What is your travel style? Are you more of a slow traveler or do you also enjoy traveling a little bit quicker?
I mean, when I was living in New York, there were weeks where I'd be in like London 1 week and San Francisco like 2 days later. Like I was traveling so much in so many different time zones. I would sometimes be in 3 different time zones in a week. You know, when I look back on it, like while I was in it, I enjoyed it and like I got a lot of energy from it. Like I was moving so much. There was so much energy, like from, you know, the moving and traveling. I felt like I was doing my best work on airplanes, like focused work, you know, on the plane. Now I definitely lean towards more of like 2 week minimum in a place. And, you know, I think 6 weeks is like a good time if you really want to integrate into a culture. After 6 weeks, it starts, you know, there's like this in between 2 and 6 weeks that I feel like it becomes like a little bit more difficult after 6 weeks and a little difficult, you know, in the first week, because the first week you're really assessing your routine and you're like grounded, and it's tough to even find community within your first week because it's not a, you know, you're setting yourself up and getting stabilized. And so I find 2 weeks still even like a little too little. I think the month to 6 weeks is a really nice time to like integrate, meet people, get into the community, lean into the culture, like have a routine, and then figure out, you know, do you want to stay or do you move on to the next place?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think for myself, I discovered like 1 to 2 months is really good for that. Yeah, I also personally find 2 weeks a little bit short. We went to Gran Canaria for 2 weeks and the whole time I felt this pressure of I need to do things. Like I need to explore, but I also need to work. And it was a little bit too short to do both. Now here we're on Madeira at the time that we're recording this for 2 months and we have only a few days left. We're leaving in 4 days. So almost here for 2 months. And I think for this location, it was actually a perfect time. We had enough time to work, like get all the hours in and do all the things that we needed to do, but also explore, but also Netflix and just do nothing, you know, just like the lazy Sundays, things like that, which I personally also find really important when you do this for a longer time, that you can just feel like you can do nothing. I mean, you can always do nothing.
Yeah.
I always have that pressure.
I think it's a good
point.
I feel like as a nomad, you feel like you have to not only be working or doing something. It's like, you know, I think that people have this misconception that like you're just relaxing on a vacation, you know, like you do on a normal vacation. And it's actually the exact opposite. I find myself working harder in those locations and doing more, right? You're doing all of these activities and you're meeting and you're connecting, but you're constantly moving. And so it is important to take the time to just actually do nothing sometimes when you're in those locations, because it goes fast.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any travels planned in the near future?
Yeah, I'm actually going to Japan on December 15th. So, and then I will probably head to Costa Rica over New Year's from there. So yeah, I've never been to Japan. I'm excited to go, and I'm going with a group. Yeah, I think it'll be really, really amazing. I've not been to that area of the world, and I've wanted to, but I didn't really want to go by myself to that area. And so yeah, an opportunity just came up, and so I think it'll be really interesting.
Yeah, very cool. Is it a group trip or something like that?
Yeah, it's actually my friend is in Harvard Business School right now, and so it's her class is going, and I'm just tagging along. So
cool.
tag along, and I figured, you know, what better, you know, group to plan, you know, an interesting, like, culturally rich trip. So we shall see.
Very cool. Sounds like a really random but exciting opportunity that opened up.
Yeah, I would say my travel is very spontaneous normally. Still, I try for it not to be, but, you know, sometimes it isn't. But as I'm sure, you know, everyone can relate, as you start getting friends and community around the world in different places, like, people are moving around constantly. And so the opportunities to do interesting stuff or meet friends in interesting places starts to become, like, sometimes even overwhelming. You know, you're like, wait, I want to do that. And that sounds amazing. And so, yeah, and in turn, then I feel like, you know, sometimes I just say yes. So this is one of those. I got a call 2 weeks ago, and I had said, you know, I'm not leaving my house. I'm going to stay here for a few months. And I was like, you know what? That actually sounds amazing.
Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you find it difficult? Do you have, like, FOMO, or do you feel like that is a thing you have to deal with as a digital nomad, especially?
Yeah, I think there's two things. It's like this feeling of, like, what is home? Yeah, I never really felt like I needed a physical home. But after COVID and being a nomad for 2 years, I decided to buy a place in Austin and said, you know, as I'm moving around the world, I can rent it out on Airbnb, and I don't really need to be there that much. And so I thought, like, you know, the physical home would actually give me a feeling of home. But what I've found is, like, I feel more at home, like, some places around the world than I do here. And when it comes back to it for me, it really comes back to community and connection. And it's a feeling, you know, within rather than from other people. And so when I feel, you know, my most, like, authentic and grounded self, that's when I feel at peace, right? And at home. And so thinking about, like, what I lean into and where I go, and do I have FOMO when people are doing other things? It's less about that. And it's more about, like, how is that going to make me feel as, you know, myself? And is it gonna, like, make, you know, my energy its best energy? And so, no, I'm tending to kind of make decisions that way of, like, what optimizes my energy and what makes me feel grounded and peaceful, because it can be a very exhausting lifestyle to live, and lonely lifestyle, just moving from place to place. And so being able to, you know, come back to, like, what is your goals for going somewhere, and what are you trying to explore, and what are you trying to get out of it? I think it's really important to continue to not get drained by the process.
Yeah, well, beautifully said. Made me reflect on when I feel at home. And it's funny. I agree with you. We got an apartment in Germany like in the middle of the pandemic because we couldn't really travel that much. So we were like, okay, well, felt like we kind of had to. And now we've been on the road for about two months since coming to Madeira, which is our first maybe like big trip after getting that apartment. And it feels like coming home for me to like leave, you know, like leaving feels like coming home. So yeah, that's really interesting. Let me reflect on that. Interesting that you also mentioned that it can be similar for you at least, that like community and a feeling within is more important than a physical location.
Yeah, like I don't, you know, my where I grew up or going to my parents' place, like I don't feel like that's home, you know. And this idea of like what is home for us as nomads is like I think ultimately we as humans want to feel like safe and supported and secure. Like those are the three things we're always striving for. I think that's what makes us feel this feeling of, you know, home is like, do we feel safe? Do we feel supported? Do we feel secure? Right? Secure to be ourselves, secure to like do what we want. And that's where I think community underlines all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And community is what we can find in the app, right? In Legends. Can you share where people can find out more about the app and also where they can get in touch with you if they have any questions?
Yeah, of course. So, as I mentioned, we launched a beta at the end of August with this idea of kind of mapping your travel DNA and sharing recommendations. And we're developing a deeper kind of community platform towards the end of this year and into early next. And so you can download the beta on the App Store at Live My Legend is the name. You can also go to our website at livemylegend.com. And yeah, you can find me on, you know, LinkedIn or Instagram or at Live My Legend. And feel free to, yeah, reach out to me with any questions or, you know, any support or guidance. Happy to help and, you know, any feedback as we're on a journey to, you know, create a platform that, you know, helps support, you know, people like us in a way that feels meaningful.
Yeah, awesome. We will also make sure that all the links are in the show notes. So when you're listening, you can go to the show notes, click the links there, connect with Shayna, and definitely check out the app. I mean, I downloaded the beta and I'm so impressed, just like the way it looks. And I'm so excited for what's coming for the app. I think this is going to be huge. So definitely check it out. Shayna, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. This was really fun.
Thanks, Anne. It was great to chat, and we'll be in touch.
Yeah, and enjoy Japan.
Thank you.
And that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it very, very much. I would appreciate it even more if you could leave a review on Apple Podcasts for me. That way, more people can find this podcast, more people can hear the inspiring stories that we're sharing, and the more people we can impact for the better. So, thank you so much if you are going to leave a review. I really appreciate you, and I will see you in the next episode.